There it is. Now we're recording. Recording at a bit of a distance, seeing how well it records from, well, a little distance. Okay, so part of the issue is life. Seems like it's complicated sometimes. But maybe we have dreams of it being simpler, easier. Though in our hearts, somewhere in our souls, we know that life wasn't supposed to be a struggle. We know there would be some difficult times, perhaps, where we really want to achieve something and we're not quite getting there, but life to be a struggle, I don't think that's the way it was meant. And as I remember, mine started off kind of that way. Or did it start off good and then went into struggle? We don't know all the answers. But I think what we do know in our hearts is that this is supposed to be an experience. One that we come back with, wherever we're going to go, and explain how wonderful it was. All our experiences, all the things we've tasted and touched, and the flowers and the colors, and the way a flower just comes out of a snowbank and literally pushes through the frozen ground. Giant trees spreading their branches into the air, standing there in the sheer force of huge winds. Impossible odds. I mean, this world is so full of beauty. And on top of that, I think we were supposed to observe this beauty, and perhaps through the observing, expand it, create perhaps even more, envision things even more beautiful, because the more we look at something we like, the more we want. And that is a natural process. And so we want to create more. We're always achieving something more wonderful, achieving more joy, more happiness. There is no end path in that. And that's a good thing, because otherwise we would get there and everybody would be preaching, this is the end, this is as far as you can go, and this is where you now have to be happy no matter what. You cannot go beyond this point. That's not the way the universe works. The universe is ever expanding. And scientists have decided, you know, that there's a Big Bang theory and the universe is expanding. But now they're coming to the point of questioning that, because there's various evidence against that. As in, the universe just expanding and never contracting. In other words, never really coming together, but more or less expanding, pulling together a bit, expanding more, sort of like breathing. Breathing in more, breathe out a little bit, but then breathing in more. So, that leads us to more questions. If the universe ever expands, are we not also truly always expanding, always reaching for more? And is that not part of the joy of knowing that no matter how happy you are today, no matter how many wonderful things happen today, not only can they happen again tomorrow, but even more tomorrow? I have to remind myself of this every single day. Oh, actually, many times during the day. Why are you here? And what are you doing? And why are you doing it? And I have to ask myself constantly, is what you're doing right now, is this really bringing you joy? Is this really what you want to do? That's the question, isn't it? Is this something you have to do so you can eat at the end of the day or sleep in a warm place? Or is this something you really want to do? Then there's the question of things that I do that really don't depend on my survival. They don't affect my survival, but they do affect my day-to-day amount of joy and how I experience life. So I have to ask myself during those times, do I need to do this? That's the question. I think we should ask ourselves more and more. Is this really what I want to do? Is this really what's good for me? Or am I just doing it because, well, for centuries people have been doing it? Going to a funeral, for instance. I don't go to funerals. I've only been on one, my mother's funeral. I didn't like it. It didn't bring me no joy, and frankly, it didn't bring anybody any joy. Why not have been there when she was alive? Actually, come to think of it, I saw very few people come by when she was really ill. Yet, a whole crowd was there when she was dead. I don't think that that really serves a big purpose. Now, as other people pass away, others, of course, complain a little bit and grumble that I never show up at the funeral. And I say, listen, I was there when that person was alive. I was happy with them, talking to them, spending some time, those times that I wanted to spend with them. Now they're gone, they're moved on. And so am I. I'm moving on. Standing there would not bring me joy. So why do it? I'll tell you why we do it. Because we think it's right. Because we have this thing of says, well, that would be disrespectful if we didn't. We have all these issues. And also what other people would say. And so forth and so forth. And so we continuously do things that we don't really want to do. Now, I'm not saying that you or someone else does not want to go to the funeral. That's up to each individual. You know, if you ask yourself, whether that's right for you. Now, this is just one simple example, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples. Many, many things. Recently, my dad passed away. He lives a large distance from where I live. Also, it would have cost a lot of money to go there, take care of his apartment and the things involved and so forth. So I handed some things to a lawyer and some things to someone else who was close by who wanted to take care of those things that needed to be taken care of, and I paid them. And I said to myself, would it really bring me joy to spend that money to fly there and do all those things? Or would it be better for me to give them the money and let them do it? They want to do it. They want to have that extra money. And I am doing something in its place that's bringing me joy. Now, in the overall universe, if there was a billion of me at that moment doing exactly that, there would be a billion souls radiating at that moment with love and joy. In other words, if there was a billion of me, because I chose the happy path, the path that was actually right for me. So, now if there was, again, a billion of me, there would be a billion souls radiating out joy and love during those moments. Or, scenario two, I go there, I do that, I dredge it, it's hurtful, it's painful, I have to dig up past issues that are dead to me, but they would be facing, and I would be unhappy. Now, if I was a billion souls now would be radiating unhappiness into the universe, coming from a spot in the universe where I'm located. That's how we function. The more we focus on something that's really not bringing us joy, the more we radiate out the opposite of what we really want to fill the world with. So, am I crazy? Or does that make sense? It makes sense. Though at one point in my life, I thought about this, and it made perfect sense, but I couldn't live it. It's actually can be quite difficult to live, especially if you're surrounded by a lot of people. And to begin living it, I actually had to remove some people out of my life. You know, I had to stay more and more by myself, or in other words, with just my family, which is my wife, a dog, a cat, a rabbit, our boat, and some people that we associate with for short periods of time. And I noticed that if I keep the time down that I associate with other people, and actually spend more time associating with those people when I'm in a happy state. In other words, I'm actually doing something I want to do. All those things, everything just seems to work out better. In other words, the people are seeing me in a happier state. It seems to make them happier because they're not dealing with my issues anymore. They're dealing mostly with my happiness, which is a lot easier for them to deal with than if I'm going there, meeting them, and I'm in a down mood because I've done things that make me unhappy, or that I really don't want to do. So now I'm dredging it, and I'm going there, and I'm dredging all that, what we call, baggage with me, and in a sense, I don't think I'm all that happy to be around in comparison. Now, again, forgetting that there's other people and just focusing on myself, saying, really, at this moment, it's all about myself. And just being selfish for a bit. If there was a billion of me doing exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, focusing more on the things that we like to do, and then when we're in that up mood, then being in contact when we want to with other people, all of a sudden we'd have this chain reaction happening. Every time I saw that other me, he'd be happy. And because I'm already happy, and meeting up with that other me at the same time they are happy, we become even more happier. It's this chain reaction that happens. It's like an atom bomb of happiness. Again, sounds wonderful. A little difficult to live. It's something that has to be practiced every day. And some days it works really well. Some days, in all honesty, it doesn't work because something will go and then I'll get into this grudgy mood or something, I'll complain. You know, I can give you a perfect example. Tax people. Man, oh man, oh man. Here's people who presumably, possibly love their job, but I'm not too sure how much they love people. But anyway, you see, instantly, I'm pulling myself down. Now, what am I doing? I'm actually talking about something that creates unhappiness in me because I don't see it as something happy. The tax situation, where the money goes, even though I like the idea of tax, because tax can make a country quite beautiful. It pays for the parks and the wildlife reserves and the roads and the schools and libraries and many, many things. But there's also a really bad side. And sometimes when I get into talking tax, I switch right to the bad side. So, rather than force myself to switch over, it's better I leave the subject altogether. Until I'm feeling really good, and I look at that park, and I go, hey, you know what? Last year, all that tax I paid, holy cow, that paid for that park, and what a beautiful place. And 100 years from now, that park is still going to be there. And then I leave it alone. Because if I continue on it, then I'll go back into that, hey, well, what about the rest of the tax money? Where'd they blow that? See the situation? You're probably not feeling that good right now listening to that part, and neither am I. I'm already feeling a little lower. So, really, ideally, I should switch the subject. Not force myself to change how I think about something, but it's easier to change the subject. Because I don't have to think about tax people. Yeah, I have to do my taxes and this and that, but that's once a year for a few hours. The rest of the 364 days, I don't have to discuss taxes or ever give them another thought. Now, the beauty of that is, when you ignore something, you give it no energy. None. No energy radiates from you into that subject. Now, 1,000 people to the left can radiate energy into that particular subject, and so maintain it. In other words, keep it in existence. And that's okay, because the creators are also receiving the radiation back from what they're focusing on. In other words, they're thinking about the tax constantly. Good, bad, positive, negative, in between, doesn't matter. The mixture becomes a soup and the balance reflects back to them. I, on the other hand, let's say, do not focus at it at all. If I hear the subject, I immediately just switch to something else. I'll even change the conversation, or I'll engage a conversation with someone else who's not focused on that, on another subject. That stays, keeps me in discontact from that particular creation in the universe. And so, it affects me none. Now you might say, that's not quite the way it works. Actually, that is the way it works. Some people would say, ignoring something does not make it go away. Actually, it does make it go away. Because if I'm not thinking about it, I'm not feeling it either. So it's not there. Yes, they're still collecting taxes, but I have no emotional attachment to it. And it's virtually gone. Now what happens, in the meantime, because I'm not thinking at all about it, if in the odd time it does come up, if I can bring myself to focus on the positive side, then my experiences with tax-related matters will become exact reflection of what I think. Now, most of the time, of course, I'm not thinking at all of them. So, in a sense, what that means, tax-related things will virtually not be non-existent in my life. Only a very tiny bit. And the experience of that will reflect exactly what I think of the tax situation when I experience it, when I think about it. In other words, if the entire year I spend a total of 60 minutes thinking, talking, and having an emotional experience about tax, and if in that 60 minutes, 50 minutes of it is on a positive side, and only 10 minutes is perhaps on a negative side, I will have a very, very large percentage of positive experiences. In other words, the 50% positive will already outweigh the 10% negative. And the experience will basically be positive. Now, in the universe, it can go the other way around. If I'm spending, let's say, 2 minutes on the positive and 68 minutes or 58 minutes on the negative, well, then my experience will associate more towards the negative side. Okay, but if I spend only that much of time, it will be a very short period of negative experience that I will have from tax matters, because I've only given it 1 hour of an entire year. But if I'd give it 1 hour every day, then the experience becomes much larger. And my tax experience can be an entire month long of agony every year. Which means I would spend even more time thinking about it and giving more time to the negative side. And so it will reflect even more back. You see how It creates a chain reaction, same as our positive thoughts and positive thinking created a chain reaction that the universe reflects back to us. Now, when it comes to sending love, each time we're really sending love, we're doing two things. One, we're thinking, feeling, and having an emotional experience of a subject. And we're sending it love. Now, if we're really actually sending it love, we all would have our thoughts on the positive side, because you can't have a thought on the negative side and actually send love. It doesn't work. So, you would be bringing up a good feeling about taxes and actually sending love to all the people that deal with the taxes. Feeling them filled with love and enjoy, with joy and caring, that they are helping to create the beautiful parks and the roads and the walkways and the incredible libraries and museums and art galleries and many, many things we have that the taxes supply us with. So many things, matter of fact, that probably 99% of it goes, well, without credit. You know, we just kind of pass it by and never really give it a positive thought. Sometimes what I do is I carry pictures with me, or an example I have, I collect magazines wherever I can find them, and I collect the pictures and I pull out any picture that really gives me a good feeling, like that of a sandy, sunny beach. It could be sailing, a picture of a swimming pool. I could be sitting in a hot tub, and when I'm just sitting there or looking around or anything, not really doing a whole lot, I will look at a picture and stare at it and bring myself there to the point where I really appreciate being there. In other words, I use it to bring up appreciation, the feeling of appreciation, because the feeling of love, feeling of appreciation is the same thing. So I bring that forward. And the more I do that, the more I'm radiating positive feelings, the more I'm actually radiating love out. That love will come reflected back. And I've probably explained this before. A lot of times when people start this, it doesn't take long before something wonderful happens. But at the same time, how we create here is like a gigantic wheel that's turning. And it turns and turns and turns. And all the things we thought and felt 3 weeks ago are slowly coming into place. And even several months ago are coming around this big wheel and are showing up now. So when you start changing your pattern and your thinking pattern, what all the stuff you had on this wheel is still coming your way, but you're sticking new wonderful experiences on this wheel, but the wheel is slowly turning around. And most good stuff takes at least 30 days and a little more to start coming around. Now, if you continue on for 30 days, by the time 30 days are over, at the end of 30 days, you've gotten even better at following your positive thoughts and doing more happy things. So, the things that you're sticking on that wheel are even better. But you know when we make the biggest change in our lives? When the shit hits the fan. When we have the worst stuff coming off that wheel. The worst. That's when we run for help. Look in a book. Pick up a tape and say, I gotta get out of this. I gotta get some help. This is horrible. I can't stand my life anymore. And then we start practicing this. But all this crap that we were thinking that we created with our thoughts and feelings and emotions are still coming at us from this wheel. So then we play around with it for a week. A couple of things go better. We feel a little better. But at the same time, we are practicing something new that takes enormous amount of energy. When you make a change in your life, it takes enormous amount of energy, concentration and focus. Now, at the same time, we have all this other garbage coming at us, which also takes a lot of energy. So you can see the situation and how difficult it is to really kind of continue on and get out of it. It's tough. It's tough because most people kind of go along and then they get tired and then they drop down and they let go. Now, by that time, better stuff's already coming off of that wheel again. And also, when people get really tired and they just let go, they sort of, for that time, let go of everything, positive, negative, and create a more neutral thing on that wheel of creation. And so then what comes around is a little bit more neutral. Not really positive, not really negative, just kind of in between. That allows us to rest up again and get going again. But by that time, most people, most of us, including myself, many times in the past, have quit. Because we were just too busy struggling with all the stuff that was coming. Now, here's the nifty part. You probably think at some point, oh, this will quit. It actually doesn't quit. It just keeps going like that. It just becomes easier. And once you understand that, you know what's happening. Because you see, there's no limit to how happy you can be. So, when you come to stage two and you go, wow, this is wonderful. Stage three will be even more wonderful. But from stage three, stage two isn't all that great. From stage one, stage two is good. But from three, two is not that great. Now you're at three, you're moving up to four. It does take a little work to move to four, then to five, and so on. It just keeps going. The idea is to increase your happiness. Now again, as you keep going up, it does become easier, but there is always that back lag on that wheel of things you create today, you will probably see in 30 days. So, as you change your feelings today, your emotions, with sending love and focusing on that, things will change. Some things will change right away. I mean, immediately you start sending out rays of love and some things will come to you almost instantly. I mean, people will act better, more loving to you and all kinds of things, but there is also a very large lag of some of the other things that take time. Some things can take even a year, just depending on how it's all balanced out, you know, on your focus and so forth. Also, large things can take a little longer, like if you're trying to create something very large that you've never experienced, that can take a little longer because many things have to fall into place. Sometimes we want them right away, but mostly we want things immediately. Because we're not feeling that good. We don't have enough happy things happening on a day-to-day basis. And so we want some things right away, more money right away, instantly. We need it right now. Rather than just continually enjoying what we have and knowing that even more is coming. And knowing that when more is coming, even more will be coming after that.